Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
It says that we are no longer slaves to sin. Because we've died and were buried with Him, our relationship with sin, and I don't know if that's the best word to use, but it's the best one I've got right now, our relationship to sin changes.
Our new life, when we are born again, does not mean we no longer sin, but we are no longer slaves to sin. Jesus provides us with an escape plan. We are forgiven and washed clean because He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and He gives us strength and endurance to resist temptation, knowing that when we blow it, His grace is more than enough. With more from Luke 23, 50 through 56, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
There is the Shroud of Turin that in the late 80s had a carbon dating that came out to 1,300 years ago, and they called it fake. But do you know that like in 2019, they redid a carbon dating on it and they re-examined it? This is the same people that did the carbon dating in the late 80s. They thought, we're gonna put this to rest completely. And they found out that it had been patched and that they had actually dated the patch and not the actual Shroud of Turin itself. And so they did a new date to it and they came up with a dating, get this date, a dating 1,300 years to 3,000 years, which will tell you there's problems with dating, right? Because they come up with that wide of a range. But in other words, the same person that said it was no older than 1,300 years old now says it could be as old as 3,000 years. And on top of that, there are some very interesting things about the Shroud. And Dr. Gary Habermas has spoken of this, that it's very probable that this is the Shroud of Christ, that the image was put on there when He rose from the dead, because the image cannot be copied today. And let me just give you a layman's term of what I read about this, all right? So I'm not going to use scholarly terms. A thread on the Shroud of Turin is made up of 100 co-threads. I can't remember the word that was used, so that's my made-up word, co-threads. So the thread on the Shroud of Turin is made up of 100 co-threads, and the image on it is only on 2 or 3 of the co-threads per thread. So it wasn't paint, it wasn't ink, it wasn't mud, it wasn't charcoal. All of this just causes us to stand back. I'm not willing to say the Shroud of Turin is the burial cloth of Christ. But I stand back and go, huh, it's interesting that things seem to fit. They did a study on the pollen on the linen, and they found that the pollen came from the area of Jerusalem. So the actual flowers that were placed around the body as they prepared the body came from the area of Jerusalem. There's just enough to go, huh, I wonder, is this the burial cloth of Christ? Is still a question mark, but it's far more probable than I ever thought before. If I ever talked about it before, I would go, no way. And now it's like, I don't know, maybe. So he brings a linen wrap with him. He wrapped in linen. This would be a large, long linen cloth. And they laid it in the tomb that was hewn out of a rock where no one had ever been laid. That day was the preparation day for the Sabbath drew near. So this is one of the things you'll see. They let people being taken off of the cross if the next day was a holy day to that region. And so this is a holy day for Israel. Verse 55, and the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now, two things here. We have two high-profile people who bury the body of Jesus. The gospel was written within a few decades of these events. People would be alive, either Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, when this was written, or people who knew them that could have refuted it. And we don't have anyone in history that ever refuted after these gospels came out a few decades. And that's not very long, by the way. A few decades after the events, these things are written and no one refuted it. Also, the argument today is that the women, they got confused. they went to the wrong tomb. So the disciples went to the wrong tomb. And so they all believed Jesus rose from the dead. And then they began having hallucinations of seeing him. And it was just all a mistaken tomb. But the scriptures say they saw where it was and they saw how the body was prepared. This is someone they love. They are not going to be confused and go to the wrong tomb. Things are imprinted in us with emotion. They are emotional as they watch him being cared for by these two men when in their day women did it. It was the woman's job to care for the body of a person who had died. But Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus did this because they had access and they waited until after the Sabbath to be able to go and do it. So it speaks of the evidence, again, that the tomb was empty. This is a strong statement and you can search it out. See, it's true that a consensus of scholars, New Testament biblical scholars, Christian and non-Christian, believe that the tomb was empty on the third day. Now, notice the way I said that. It doesn't say a consensus of scholars believe that he rose from the dead. A consensus of scholars believe the tomb was empty on the third day. Otherwise, Christianity could have never have spread as quickly as it did. So let's consider what the Bible says about his burial in us. So the Bible says something really interesting. It says that we have been buried with Christ. There's other things that it says along these lines. It says that we have died with him. We died with him. We were buried with him. Paul uses this in Romans, in Galatians, and in Corinthians to speak about how you are no longer under the law because the law is only binding on people who are alive. If a woman has a husband and she marries another, she commits adultery, Paul says. This is his example. But if the man dies and she marries another, she doesn't because the law is only binding on those who are alive. And so Paul says in the book of Galatians, you are no longer under the law because you died with Christ. The 14-year-old Robert Furrow, who gave his life to the Lord, died in him. And therefore, all of the lies I told, all of the things I stole, all of the coveting that I did, all of the stealing from my sister that I did, I could not be held responsible for it because I had died in Christ. I was dead. If you rob a bank today, and while you're escaping, you crash and die, they don't take your body and book it. They don't take the photos of you. They don't put you in a holding cell and wait to try you. They take you to the morgue. Because the law is not binding when you die. So we died with Christ. Paul said this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but it is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live for him, the Son of God. Now, let me give you a couple of passages. In Romans 6, 3 and 4, it says, or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a newness of life. Now, when we think of baptism, we just make it synonymous with water baptism. But you realize that the word baptism does not mean water baptism. The word baptism means to immerse. And we're told in the Bible that we have been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so is this water baptism or is this the event in which we are baptized into the family of God? Whatever it is, we have died with him. We have been buried with him. And if you read that section out of Romans chapter 6, it's a great section. I won't take time to do it today. But if you read it, it says that we are no longer slaves to sin. Because we've died and we're buried with him, our relationship with sin, and I don't know if that's the best word to use, but it's the best one I've got right now. Our relationship to sin changes. We were slaves to sin before we came to Christ. And now we are no longer slaves, which means there's a way of escape, which means you don't have to be bound with sin. You say, well, if I died at 14 when I gave my life to Christ and all of the law that I had broken was done away with because I died, what about all the sins I've committed from 14 until now, which there are one or two? Or, I don't know, 1,000, million, I don't know. Well, Jesus dealt with those. Because if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins. He's faithful to forgive you because of the death of Christ. He is faithful. He will do it. If you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins. So now you go to him and you make things right with him. And whatever relationship a non-believer has with sin, yours is different. That's why we keep short accounts with God, and we are no longer a slave to sin, that we should follow after its lust. That's what the Bible says. Now, Colossians 2:12 tells us this, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. There's a passage that says the same power that brought Jesus from the grave is the same power that is at work within you. That's not just a Jeremy Camp song. That is Jeremy Camp quoting scripture. The same power that brought Jesus out of the grave, which is the resurrection, is the same power that's at work within me and at work within you, which tells us the significance of who we are in Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So not only were you died and buried with him, but you've put on Christ. And finally, Romans 7:4 says, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another." So this is this whole analogy of dying and not being bound by the law. "To him who's raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." We have three things in closing. Number one, we have died in Christ. Therefore, we are now living for him. So if you are a Christian, then you are no longer living your life for yourself, or you're not supposed to be. But you are supposed to be living your life for Christ. Jesus gave a lot of invitations in his ministry. At one point he said, "Any of you who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest." Another point he said, "If you are thirsty, come unto me and drink, and out of you will gush torrents of living water." And then he gave this invitation, "If any of you want to be my disciple, let him pick up his cross and follow me." That's an invitation. If anyone in here says, "I want to be his disciple," what do you have to do? Pick up your cross. Why do you pick up your cross? That's the way of saying you die to yourself and live for him. The cross was a torture device. It was a device you were killed on. Jesus said this before he died on the cross. If any of you wants to be my disciple, pick up your cross and follow me. It's a picture that you are now laying down your life and you are living for him. That's what the Christian walk is. And when we ask you, would you like to give your life to Christ today? We're asking you if you want to begin to follow him, become a follower of Jesus, because that's what Christians are. We're disciples. We are followers of him. And we die to ourselves and live for him. Now, secondly, having died to Christ, we are no longer under the law. And I really wanted to point that out again, because I run into people so often who are talking to people who want to get people to live under the law. They're like, "Christianity today has it wrong. You're supposed to go to church on Saturday, the Sabbath. You're supposed to keep the Sabbath, or you're supposed to keep certain dietary laws, or there's other laws you have to take." I find it interesting that there's no one who teaches you've got to keep all 613 of the Old Testament laws. They pick and choose. But Paul wrote in Galatians, battling the same thing in Galatians, Paul said, if you break the law in one point, you've broke the law in all of them. So that if you could be saved by the law, Christ died in vain. We are now set free from the law because we've died. Having died, the law no longer has power over us, and don't let anybody put you under the bondage of the law. There's a group called the Black Hebrew Israelites. Kanye West, if you're wondering where he's getting his weirdness from, it's from this group. Maybe not all of his weirdness. Let me put it in a new way. If you're wondering where he's getting his latest weirdness from, it's from them. And they believe, there's various different groups of them, but they believe you have to keep the law. So it is around today. Be careful. Don't let anybody put you back under bondage into the things of the law. And finally, if I have died with Christ, I am raised with him. And the power of the Holy Spirit is at work within me to help me live my life for Christ. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And God will use you. You have a race to run. Your race isn't my race and my race isn't your race. But we run our own race before God and fulfill the things that God has given us to fulfill. But I will say unto God now, I will follow you. And even if you slay me, I will live for you. Which is a quote from Job. Even if you kill me today, if you kill me tomorrow, I'll live for you today. That's my paraphrase from that. If you kill me tomorrow, I'll live for you today. Even if you slay me, I will trust you, is what Job said. I'm living for God. This is the life of a believer. And over the years, there have been many who have been martyred for their faith in Christ. And even people today living in the world have become believers, followers, disciples, even though they know it could cost them their lives. And there will be greater persecution as time goes on as we surrender our life to him. Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you so much that we're able to take time today and consider the burial of Jesus and how it's been said that we have been buried with Christ. Thank you that these two secret disciples had to come out into the open in order to bury you, to do work for you. Lord, if there are secret disciples here, I pray that there would be some event that would force them to come out in the open and live out loud for you. Lord, help us that the life that we live now would not be lived for us, but would be lived for you. You said if anybody seeks to save his life, he will lose it. But if he loses his life for my sake, he will save it. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of moments. But if you're here today and you've never become a follower of Christ, you have never been born again. And understand, I'm not saying that you decide to be a follower of Christ and then you go do all of this work to change, to be born again. No, this is a work of God. When you become a follower of Christ, he causes you to be born again. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you will die to yourself and you will live for him. And the Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. So this means that you accept that invitation of Jesus to be a follower by receiving Christ, saying, I want you in my life. Now, if you're here today and you would like to become a follower of Jesus, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just raise your hand. You're saying, I want to stop living for myself and I'm ready to begin to live for him. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose for your life. Just as he said to the disciples, pick up, when he saw them mending nets, follow me. They got up and followed him. And so today, by raising your hand, you're saying, I'm going to follow Jesus. Just raise your hand now. You want to give your life to Christ? God bless you. All the way back out in the pavilion? That's great. God bless you guys up in the balcony. That's great. All right. You could put your hands down. And if by chance I missed your hand, because that does happen, God saw it and that's what really matters, right? But I would like everyone, even if you're online, you don't have to raise your hand, but you want to become a follower of Jesus, then pray this prayer with us. I'd like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to pray this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can follow you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. Amen. As I said, and you know, I didn't understand all the stuff I explained today. I just knew that God was calling me and I prayed a prayer and invited him into my life and I changed as a 14-year-old. I can guarantee you as a 14-year-old, I didn't want to go to church. My parents had to drag me to church. I did not want to go. All of a sudden, when I gave my life to Christ, I wanted to read my Bible. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to talk about Jesus. I wanted to know more about him. We ended up leaving the church that we were in to go to another church because they actually taught the Bible and we just wanted to know more about it. This is the kind of things that's going to happen to you. Now that you've given your life to Christ, you will notice there's a transformation and a change inside of you. There's a new believers table along the wall over here. Stop by there. We have a Bible we want to give you, help you know where to begin to read it. A brand new baby Christian. And you need to get to maturity where you are standing strong in Christ. Let us help you to be able to do that. Now, I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for you based on what we've been talking about. And since there's this strong statement that we are buried with Christ and we have died with him and we are no longer a slave to sin, I want to pray that we would have an understanding as to what that means. A lot of times when we read it, this is what I feel when I read it. I feel conviction. I read it and I go, I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I still sin. And we feel that. But can we really understand what it's saying? That we now have a different relationship with sin and even with the demonic world around us. The evil one cannot touch us if we're in Christ. So many things change when we are believers. And I want to pray that we would have a good understanding as to the power that we have to be able to live for Christ. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands made holy by the blood of the Lamb. And I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for all who are here in this room. As we raise our hands up to you, made holy by the blood of the Lamb, and so thankful for that. And Lord, I pray that we would understand the same Spirit that brought Jesus from the grave is at work within us. And that we are no longer a slave to sin. Before we came to you, we were a slave to sin. But that slavery has been broken. And help us to live our lives in such a way that we would glorify you and that people would see the fruit that comes from our life and it would bring you glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I want to bless you before you go. And a blessing is a spoken prayer. Every time you say to someone, God bless you, you're asking God to bless them. And I encourage you to use it. Say to your kids when you leave them, God bless you. Say to your parents, God bless you. Don't just make it a goodbye though. Make it an actual prayer where you're saying, God bless you. And so in the Bible, there are a few blessings that were given, but I like to use the one out of Numbers where it said, speak the name of God over the people in this way. And it has the name of God in it three times, the YHWH. And Israel would not say the name of God. So we've lost the exact pronunciation. They wouldn't say it. They would say instead, Hashem, which is the name. Now may Hashem bless you and keep you. May Hashem make his face to shine upon you. That Hashem simply means the name. Or they would say Adonai in Hebrew. That's the word Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And that's what we're going to do today. But listen to how the Bible said to speak God's name over the people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself living for him, knowing that your life is not to be lived for you. May that be something that we are reminded of on a regular basis. And there's an ebb and flow, right? We get living for ourselves and remember we're supposed to be living for Jesus. And may he empower you with the Holy Spirit to shine brightly as a light for him in all of the people that are around you.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.